You'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 11. That's where we'll be for a while this morning. Before I begin, a couple of things. It's really great to see Don Cash in the back. And I'll understand if you can't endure the whole thing and you have to sneak out. I hope it's not me. I don't think so. And you've got a long row to hoe and you're almost at the end of it, and that's great. And I'm glad you're good enough to come. The other two things I'd like to announce or request, really. Next week is going to be Bring a Neighbor Sunday. We're having a potluck afterwards, so please bring a neighbor. And also, in the potluck, bring some extra food. Let's anticipate having more people and try to make that happen. And the other thing I'd like you to do is to pray for me as I prepare to preach for next Sunday. It's always my goal to try to make what I have to say true and clear and motivational. And I try to do that each Sunday, but I feel it's especially important for next Sunday because hopefully we'll have more people to hear the gospel, and I want to present it as clearly and as accurately and as motivationally as possible. So please be praying as I prepare for this, and I hope that we will prepare for it. And what I'd like to do this morning in my message is to look at some things that will help us put all of what we've been talking about together in a package. One of the things, and a theme that goes through this whole thing, and really it's a theme that ought to go through the church, is our purpose. What are we about? What we save, we serve, and we strengthen. Now, if you want to use three words, that's a nice catchword for it. Our goal personally is for each of us to get to heaven, right? Our goal collectively is to help as many get to heaven as possible. That's saving people. It was Jesus' purpose to come. It's our purpose in following him to get there ourselves, but also to bring as many with us as possible. And so we reach out. And this is part of what we're doing about inviting people here, but it's more involved than that. But we also serve people. We also reach out to people who are in need. We reach out to people who are struggling in this sin-ridden world, the world of pain, and we are to be light and salt. And that also involves giving water to the thirsty and food to the hungry and clothing to the cold and so on. And also, a third thing that we do is to strengthen one another. Save, serve, and strengthen. We are to encourage one another, enable one another to keep on going, to keep our focus so that we don't forget where we're going, so that we don't forget who our Savior is. We don't forget who our Lord is and our purpose in life. And so it's not just, I'm getting to heaven and everybody else ought to take care of themselves, but we work together in that purpose and help one another. And so to save, serve, and strengthen, where other words that are used more traditionally are evangelism, benevolence, and edification. But it's the same idea. Another way to look at it is our purpose is to love. One word. A one word purpose is to love, agape love. Love like Jesus loved. When you love like Jesus loved, you seek to reach the highest good of the other people around you. If somebody is lost, you bring them the gospel. If somebody is hungry, you bring them food. And if somebody is discouraged, you give them encouragement. Save, serve, and strengthen. When love encounters a need, it works out to be the same way. And that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about each of these three things, and it's only appropriate to be reminded of this again as we reach out into the community. It isn't just about getting people here, but it's also about helping the people who come here to find out about Jesus and to receive salvation. But it's also about helping the people who come here. It's also about helping them with their physical needs. It's also about helping one another with our needs and our need for encouragement, our need for strength, our need for perseverance, our need for sometimes correction, but always our need to get to heaven, always our need to maintain our relationship to Christ. The whole process of all of us getting to heaven is a team effort. The process of reaching the world is a team effort. Who makes the touchdown in a football team? Well, maybe it's the wide receiver, maybe it's somebody else, you don't know. But is it them? Well, without the other 10 guys, it isn't going to work very well. You know, I don't care how fast that guy is, but you just have one guy trying to make a touchdown on a football team and nobody else is doing their job, it just isn't going to work, right? Well, God has designed it so that we are Christ's body and we function as Christ's body on this earth. And it's according to the proper working of each individual part that Christ's body grows. So as we each do our part, as we each encourage one another, as we each reach out to those around us, as we each do good, as we each practice the purposes that God has for us, we cause the whole growth of Christ's body. It's not a one-man show. The preacher doesn't do all of the evangelism. The benevolence committee doesn't do all of the generosity. We all have a part in it. And we all have a part in our success. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. This is a wonderful roadmap as far as church growth goes. In the context, Paul was talking about how Jesus was the one who descended from heaven and lived among us, and then he ascended into heaven, talking about his death and resurrection, and how he conquered in that. And the picture is a picture of a general who is victorious after a battle. The general would come in to a great city, go into Rome perhaps, or a city in Greece or whatever era you're talking about, and they'd come and they'd have this great big parade, and the general would be up in front, and he'd have these people throwing coins and other things that were spoils of war, giving gifts to people right and left. And maybe they would have a big train of treasures that would be presented to various people. And so here's a picture of Christ in this procession, this victory procession. And when he talks about this, he talks about giving gifts to men. And in verse 11, this is where we begin. And he gave some gifts, gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. These are gifts that God gives, that Christ gives to the world, to the church in particular, but to the world in general. The word "as" isn't exactly here. It could be he gave some to be these things, or it could be the gifts themselves were these people. And why were they gifts? They were people through whom God's word came. There were people through whom the good news of salvation came, God's message came, and God's message was spread, and they still are people through whom God's word is disseminated and coached and implemented. We don't have the prophets and the apostles have fulfilled their function in what was written down here, but yet we have elders and we have preachers, we have evangelists and teachers who still spread God's word and help us to implement God's word. It's part of God's strategy for reaching the whole world, and they're still here. We're still here today. Those gifts are still here today. And the purpose of it all is in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. It's not just the preacher's job or the elder's job or the teacher's job to be evangelizing, to be growing the church, to be strengthening the church. It's our job as Christ's people. But those individuals, the elders and the teachers and the preachers, are meant to equip the saints to do this. It's to equip God's people for the work of service. God's word is part of the equipment. It's the directions. It's the material with which we work. It's the instructions. It's the motivation. It provides the guidance and the direction. But we use these things. The preachers and the elders and the teachers help implement God's word and help us all to implement it so that we might, all of us, might be ready to do the work of service. And I just talked about what the work of service is, didn't I? It's to save, serve, and strengthen. So we know the shape that those things take. And the purpose is to build up the body of Christ so that the church, God's church, the people who are saved, the people who belong to Christ, grow. That we grow numerically and we grow spiritually. That we mature. That's our purpose. We help one another do this. And so it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We haven't reached it yet. I think we have a bunch of mature people here, but we have more maturity to go, don't we? And I'm sure the most mature people in this room would say, yeah, you know, maybe somebody else is more mature. I'm not in that group. We are not like Christ yet, but we're going there. And the purpose of our work in Christ with one another and with the world is to have people in Christ and maturing as Christ and to become more and more like Him. To the measure that belongs to the fullness of Christ. You ever see kids, when my kids were little, they'd grab my shoes and pretend, see if they could fill them, you know? Did you ever see that in your own kids? Or perhaps, you know, when they're getting taller, they're going like this. Oh, I'm almost as tall as you, you know? Well, that's the goal. You say we're to grow up to the stature of Christ. We're to be more and more like Him. We're to fill His shoes. We're not there yet. But that's part of what we do. And as we do this, as we mature, verse 14, as a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. As we mature, we're not going to be tricked as easily. As we learn more about God's word, we're not going to be fooled by the phony stories that others come by or grab onto the bait that other people throw out, that Satan throws out to try to drag us away, to believe something wrong, to do stuff that's wrong. As we mature, we'll catch wise and be less likely to be deceived. And that's all part of it. I don't have our bulletin here, but the ideas is to save, serve, and strengthen are in our bulletin, in our statement of purpose. To be saved ourselves and to help others be saved, help as many people as possible to become saved and help one another along the way. Isn't that what it's about? And so we speak the truth in love so that we might help one another maintain the course. And we to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. To be part of Christ is the goal. So often in organizations, political organizations, sometimes religious organizations, the temptation is to have all of the followers focus on one leader, and you want to have, it's sort of like you've got a mini Jack or a mini me, you know. You got the human leader is the one to follow and is the one to emulate. But that's not the way it's meant to be in the church, is it? As I follow Christ, you follow me, but I'm a long way from being perfect at that. I try to point you to Christ. I try to show what I can of Christ, but I'm not Christ. The purpose is to be attached to Christ. The purpose is to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We serve Christ. We don't serve the organization. We don't serve the preacher. We don't serve the elders. We serve Christ. And the preacher and the elders and the leaders, their service is to point us to Christ and help us remain attached to Christ. And our purpose as a body is to grow closer and closer to Christ. And so we become stable in our beliefs. We become stable in our direction. And we grow more and more closer to Christ. And as we grow closer and closer to Christ, we work together more and more effectively. Verse 16. It's from Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that, by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Notice, it's by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the body, the growth of the body. How do you want to grow the church? We all do our part. That's how we grow the church. We all do our part. We have a part to play in this world of ours. We're disciples of Christ. We're part of Christ's body. And we work together to build Christ's body. Each of us has a talent. Each of us has a place. Each of us has people that we know. Each of us has people that we influence. And each of us has a responsibility. And as we follow Christ and meet each circumstance in our lives trying to do what Christ would want us to do, we grow as a body. I mean, it's a very simple concept. It's really easy to say. It's hard to do. You know, it's sort of like golf. I mean, you grab the club and you hold it a kind of funny, awkward way, and you swing it a kind of funny, awkward way, but you hit the ball and you try to get it in the hole. That's real simple instructions, right? But try to do it. Well, it's Christianity sort of like that too. The instructions are simple. It's the doing it that's hard. And we have to help one another in the doing, you know? And that's what it's about. And as far as the application for this morning and as for today, I'd just like to zero it in as far as what's coming up next week and what's going to come up in the weeks following. And hopefully, then we'll keep on chugging along doing this stuff. We invite people into our building for next week. Hope we do it all the time. But for next week, a special effort to invite folks. What do we do when we get here and when they get here? How do we treat these people? Do we welcome them? Do we show affection to them? Do we show interest in them? Do we talk with them? I think we will. I have absolute confidence that we're going to do it because that's the way we are. I look around and after services, I'll look around to see, make sure any visitors are all taken care of or attended to or whatever. And I can't find any. Usually I can't find any because we're taking care of the people who visit. Other people are talking with them, taking an interest in them, getting to know them. What causes somebody to want to come back, or even to consider coming back? Isn't it the kind of welcome that they receive? Isn't it the kind of warmth and acceptance that they feel when they arrive here? If they feel like nobody's going to give them the time of day, they probably won't want to come back. We all have a part in the conversion of somebody. I mean, all of us have a part. All of us, any of us, can say, hey, come and listen. Come in here. Find out. I found somebody really wonderful. We're going to talk about this tonight in tonight's class. The whole idea of bringing a friend, the whole idea of how people just said, hey, I met Jesus, I want you to meet him too. We can all say that. But it all takes effort on our part too, doesn't it? To make the person feel welcome and valued. Then they have to hear the message accurately, don't they? And they have to have questions answered. And they have other needs too. They may have social needs, they may have physical needs, they have people needs. We don't know what they need particularly, but there are attachments that can be made, that need to be made. You boil it down to love, really, don't you? You can do it very mechanically. You can have a list of 5 questions that you can ask every visitor that comes in, and you can go, I've got my 5 questions, you know, what's your name, you know, where do you live, what do you do, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have your questions. And then you can go to each visitor and make sure you ask those 5 questions. But the second time that they come in, if you're asking those same 5 questions, you didn't pay attention very much. You know, we have to have more interest than that. It has to go deeper than that. We have to be able to pick up on what they say the first time. Maybe what they need is an invitation to lunch. You go Dutch treat to Burger King or something, or maybe you got a little extra something in the stew pot back at home, and you can ask them. Maybe they have a question. Maybe they're going through some kind of trial, and you know somebody else has gone through the same kind of thing, and maybe you can hook them up. Maybe they've got some kind of question, and you can give an answer. Or maybe you can't give an answer, but you know somebody who might. And you can sort of introduce them. You can introduce them to more people. You can make sure they are not necessarily sitting alone if they don't want to sit alone. All sorts of things that we can do. And it really sums up in the idea of loving the person and caring about the person that comes in. Whenever you're in doubt about it, that's the right thing to do, isn't it? To react in love. And so it's part of our work as a church. And I think we're doing pretty good on this. And I just remind us, because sometimes we need to be reminded. And like I need to be reminded to do an extra good job in preaching next week. Well, let's all be reminded to do an extra good job of receiving our visitors next week, too. But more than that, what happens when people are converted? We can't just say, okay, we got that one in the bag, and then go on to the next one. We can't do that. It's not like you know, we're like an old-time gunslinger that puts little notches on his bedpost, you know, for each success that he had with a gunfight or something. You are not collecting baptisms. We're helping people get to heaven. And when a person's baptized, they've just started a new life. And we have to support those people. And it can't just be one person, or 2 people, or 3 people. It has to be God's church, God's family. We need to be connected with as many of the new people that are here as possible. That the questions that they ask, the needs that they have, can be addressed. This is not, well, the principles in the Bible. Well, you talk about it right here. All of the joints and ligaments are all tied together. Everything's fitted and held together. The verse 16 is talking about being knit together. And every joint and every ligament and everything having a place and working together. Well, you can't do that if somebody just coming into the Lord's church is sort of hanging onto the body like a piece of dandruff. You know? Sometimes the connection between a person, or maybe especially a newly baptized person, is tenuous. Not too many people know them. Not too many people relate to them or become friends with them or taking them under their wing. And just a little bit of a breeze will blow them away. We want more and more people to have more and more connections with us. So that means we have to get outside of ourselves. And if you don't know somebody in the congregation, you don't know them well enough. So let's make an effort. Not just for next week, but ongoing. The new people coming into our congregation to help people who have been saved stay saved, because we want them to be saved all the way to the end, right? It's not just to get them in the baptistry, but it's to get them to heaven. And we work together at it. A guy named Flavel Yakeley, a brother in Christ, did a statistical study. And of course, this isn't Bible, but the principle's biblical. And he found that typically, if a new Christian doesn't have at least 5 to 7 friends in the congregation that he enters into during the first year after their baptism, if they don't have at least 5 to 7 people they can call friends, they fall away. Why is that? Well, influence. Influence. We provide good influence. As imperfect as we are, we help meet people's needs, social needs. We help meet people's emotional needs. We help remind them of what's the right thing to do. And we've been in the Lord longer. We can coach people. We don't have to be Bible experts to coach people on how to do what the Lord wants. I mean, really, many times, outsiders were really good at telling what the Lord wants. You know, they said, "You're a Christian and you do that?" I mean, we know what the Lord wants. We need to be reminded of it sometimes, don't we? We need to remind one another. We need to belong to one another. And so I really want us to all get the big picture. Yes, we're reaching out. We want new people to preach the gospel to. We want more people that we can share the good news with and God's truth with and God's salvation with. But we also need to take care of those people as they come into the Lord and as they come into our body. And we need to help them along the way. And so this is sort of an overview picture of what's going on to keep our focus right. I'd ask you to bear this in mind as we bring people next week, and to continue to bear it in mind as we reach out. We have to have people. There are people here who know how to share the gospel with others. It's not just me. People who can actually open a Bible and pick out scriptures and say, "Look, this is, well, what does it say here? You have a question? The answer is right in this passage here, book, chapter, and verse." And there are a whole bunch of people here who can do that. I know it. There are a whole bunch of people that can go over the plan of salvation, that can show who Jesus is and what he did and how we respond to him. And those of us who can, let's be looking and praying for opportunities to do so, to share what we know with others who need what we know. And that's part of our purpose, and that's my challenge for us this week, to reach out into the community, bring a neighbor, bring a friend, and reach out to them on a continuing basis. That's our challenge. And I'm prayerful, and I'm confident that we're going to reach this challenge and we're going to live up to this goal that God has given us. If you need the prayers of the saints, you want to find out more about the gospel, put the word on in baptism, or have any other requests, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.